From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
Today on The Sporkful, friends, I'm taking your calls. And, oh, looks like we missed a call here. Let's check our voicemail.
Hey, my name is Rhonda, and my rant or issue is nacho cheese, especially that crap that comes in a can. Because I contend that it's not really cheese, even though they say it's made with real cheese, because it's not a solid. Cheese is a solid. I'm sorry. It freaks me out. I won't eat it. I like shredded cheese, and once it's not hot anymore, it goes back to its natural state. It's a solid. Now, I know you're saying, okay, some cheese is kind of liquidy, like brie. It's soft. It's soft cheese. But if it comes out of a can, liquid, it's not cheese. I don't know what that is. That's weird and wrong and not good. Anyway, I've taken up too much of your time. Thank you so much. Love the podcast. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, man. Rhonda, I wish that you were here with me right now so that I could give you a big hug, because we are kindred spirits, you and I, and you are truly an eater. And I commend you for your excellent voicemail. Rhonda called us from Memphis, Tennessee, folks. And look, Rhonda, I just couldn't agree more. It's not cheese. I guess you could say that it's a sauce that may have cheese as one ingredient, but it's not a very good sauce, that's for sure. And nachos are infinitely better when they're just covered in real cheese. In fact, you guys may be surprised to hear that I'm actually not the pickiest customer at a restaurant, even if I may have a bone to pick. I usually smile and eat what they give me. One of the very few times in my life that I ever returned a dish to the kitchen because I was so dissatisfied with it was when I was served nachos with that nasty cheese sauce on it. And it was especially upsetting because it was at a pizza restaurant. And I said, I know you have cheese back there. You make pizza. Now, clearly, I should have known enough not to order nachos from a pizza restaurant, but I was young and naive. Okay, cut me some slack. Really, the sin is on them. Okay, so Rhonda, excellent call, 100%. Any halfway decent nachos are made with real cheese. Coming up today, friends, more of your calls. A woman in Portland needs a consultation on the best way to reheat leftover cinnamon buns. I think I can help her out. Also, a couple in California is at war over string cheese. I'll bring peace to their home just in time for their anniversary. Stay with us. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and great show for you today. First, just a quick update, friends, and that is that The Sporkful book, my first book, has been out now for a couple of weeks. It's called Eat More Better, How to Make Every Bite More Delicious. Thank you for all the positive feedback that so many of you have sent in. To those of you who got ahead and bought it, thank you for that. And I'm about to head out on the road. So Portland, Oregon, November 2nd, Powell's downtown. See you there. Seattle, November 4th at Elliott Bay. Chicago, Northside, November 6th, booksellers. Southside, 57th Street Books will be on November 8th. In Chicago, then on to L.A., November 18th, Barnes & Noble in Santa Monica, and then the Bay Area, Books, Inc. in the Castro, November 20th. I would love, love, love to see you at one of these wonderful events. Details at sporkful.com. Let's turn back now to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Cindy in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, Cindy, what can I do for you?
Well, I have this issue with cinnamon rolls. So you know how, like, when you buy cinnamon rolls and it has that, like, beautiful, creamy, thick cream cheese frosting on the top, which I love.
I know all about it. Oh, yes.
Oh, that's delicious.
Yes.
You know, but let's just get to the actual problem.
Okay.
The actual problem is that you buy that thing and it's beautiful and warm and fuzzy and you put it in your mouth and the frosting melts in your mouth. It's delicious. And then you have a couple left in the package the next day and you take it out and the bread's a little bit stale. And so you think, well, I'll just warm this up, you know, so you shove it in the microwave for a few seconds. And all of a sudden that beautiful, delicious cream cheese frosting turns into a disgusting mess and it's gross and it gets too hot and it's slimy and it just ruins the whole cinnamon roll experience. And it just really bugs me.
Yeah. This is a very valid concern. Have you worked on this? Do you have ideas on how to deal with it?
The only thing I have found that really works is that you take the bun the next day and you scrape all the frosting off of it. You have to be careful not to actually harm the bread. You know, you scrape it all off, and then you put it aside. And then you warm up the bun for a while, either in the oven or the microwave. And then when you take it out, you reapply the frosting, but you can't reapply the frosting too fast because otherwise it melts again and turns disgusting again. So you have to actually wait till it gets to like just a certain temperature, and then you have to reapply the frosting before you could eat the thing. And I find this very complex, and I was wondering how you've handled this issue.
It's a great question and a very valid concern. First thing I want to find out from you, how are you storing the cinnamon buns? When you bring
usually
them
in
home?
Like a Ziploc bag or something, you know.
So they're in a Ziploc. So you bring them home in a box or whatever, or bag.
Right.
You put them in a Ziploc bag, and then they're in the fridge or the freezer or on the counter?
Usually on the counter.
Okay. And when you have separated the frosting from the bun before reheating, when do you do that separation? Is that just before reheating?
Right before reheating. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an issue? This is a little bit to the side, but this is something that I worry about a lot. Do you have frosting lost? Does frosting get rubbed on the inside of the Ziploc bag, and then you can't get that frosting back?
Well, sometimes you actually have to cut the bag and scrape it off the top of the bag. Because if you take a knife and shove it in the bag, all you do is smear it around, right? So sometimes you actually have to sacrifice an entire Ziploc bag in order to save the frosting. It's called frosting retention.
Cindy, I really admire your devotion to frosting. That's very impressive.
Especially cream cheese frosting. That's special.
Right. Well, here's what I would recommend. I don't have a simpler solution for you. In fact, my solution is probably more complex, but it might get you a higher quality result.
Okay.
First thing I will say is, as soon as you bring the cinnamon bun home, separate the frosting.
Really?
Take the frosting off, put it into a plastic container, and put it in the fridge.
Oh, wow.
Because
wow, that had not occurred to me. And you know the beauty of that is that when you reheat the item, the frosting is a lot colder than the item, so it doesn't melt as fast.
Exactly, exactly. And frosting, when it's still a little bit cold, is great. You know, you get that little bit of – gets a little bit firm and a little bit toothsome. Oh, it's so good. And
oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to go buy some cinnamon rolls right now.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I would recommend is that you take each individual cinnamon roll, wrap them in plastic wrap, not in a Ziploc bag, as tightly as you can, as airtight as possible, and freeze them.
You're wrapping the cinnamon roll in the plastic wrap really tightly.
Remove the frosting,
okay.
Put it in the fridge. Now take the remaining cinnamon roll, wrap it in plastic as tightly as you can, without squishing it, but as tightly and airtight as possible, and put it immediately into the freezer, even for just one night. Because bread, when you bring home any bread or baked product, like, you know, I actually say this in my book, in Eat More Better, I talk in ridiculous detail about freezing and defrosting and rewarming fresh bread to preserve it. And I talk about how when you bring home fresh bread, you're like an ER doctor. And you need to, whatever bread you're not going to eat like in the immediate future, whatever bakery product you're not going to eat in the immediate future needs to be, like, you need to put it on ice. You need to put it in the ICU.
Okay?
And that is the freezer, and that will preserve it as well as possible. And then take the cinnamon roll out the very next morning. Shouldn't take too long for it to defrost on its own. Just let it defrost naturally on the counter. It's still wrapped in the plastic wrap. Then what you want to do is, and some people are going to hate this suggestion, but I will stand by it. I say microwave it while it's still wrapped in the plastic wrap.
Oh, really? I didn't see that coming.
People get upset because they think that, oh, it's going to melt into the thing and you're going to be eating the plastic. I mean, but you're not, don't microwave it till the plastic melts. I say microwave it for, let's say, 15 seconds on like power level 7.
Right.
And also, I mean, you know, so it shaves a couple of days off your life. We're talking about cinnamon rolls here. Am I right, Cindy?
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, exactly. I mean, what I would sacrifice a couple of days of my life for a delicious cinnamon roll. Yeah.
That's right.
So I think you're absolutely right.
Okay. So Take it
and
out.
And then you reapply the delicious.
Then you so it should be warm, but not so hot. Right. Warm, but not hot. And then you spread the cool frosting back on.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
I think you're going to be pleased with the results.
I am so impressed. Well, I'm a huge fan, but now I'm really deeply impressed with my specific, with solving my specific problem. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad, Cindy. I'm glad I could be of service to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
Coming up, is it wrong to eat string cheese without peeling it into strings? A couple disagrees over the answer. I'll bring serenity to a home in crisis. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Hope you're enjoying this call-in show. And hey, if you want to be a caller on a future episode of The Sporkful, I want to hear from you. If you have a rant, an issue, an innovation, a disagreement that needs mediation, drop me a line, dan@sporkful.com, or good old-fashioned telephone, 908-9-SPORK-9. And in fact, we're planning a special call-in show in December that's going to be an Eat More Better book club call-in show. So if there's something in particular in my book that you want to hear more about or that you disagree with or that you want to get into in any way, I want to hear from you for that special Eat More Better book club show. Again, dan@sporkful.com. Or, hey, I got this super cool phone number. Use it. 908-9-SPORK-9. Let's turn back to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Chris. I'm calling from Berkeley, California.
And I am Renee. I'm Chris's wife. And we're calling because we have a bit of an issue in our household.
Okay, tell me about it.
So Renee has issue with the way that I eat my string cheese, and I just want to be justified in being able to eat string cheese the way that I would like to eat it.
And how do you eat it?
Well, maybe Renee can explain why what's so upsetting about it.
Okay.
I think upsetting is the wrong word. Gross is a better description of the situation. So when I eat string cheese, I take it for its literal interpretation. And I peel the package open, and I have the whole piece of string cheese out, and then I peel it off string by string and enjoy it as per the lovely recommendations that come to us from the string cheese gods. Chris, however, eats his string cheese. He peels it down, leaves the cheese in the package, and then proceeds to chomp at it bite by bite.
Wait, you said he peels it. Hang on, Renee. You said he peels it down. What does he peel down?
The plastic outer layer.
Okay, but he doesn't peel down any of the cheese.
No, he kind of like squeezes the cheese up the plastic tube. And when I see it, it kind of makes me think that the plastic tube is pooping out the string cheese, which he is then happily chomping as it comes up the tube.
And how do you remove it from the plastic?
I go full plastic removal. When I'm eating my string cheese, the plastic is all gone.
So are you upset because of the way he removes it from the plastic or because of the fact that he chomps directly into it as opposed to peeling it into strings?
Both. Because the chomping, there's something about the chomping where you're not getting the right texture of the string cheese. And I just picture like a mouthful of cheese and it's squeezing out of the plastic, and it's really gross.
There's nothing gross about a mouthful of cheese. That sounds like the best thing ever.
Ugh.
Beyond that, what is your defense? Why do you think that chomping string cheese is better than peeling it?
Well, the main reason for me is sanitary reasons. So if I'm getting a string cheese and I open the package, I just open the top and then kind of just so that the top of the cheese is exposed, and then I can still have my hands on the plastic holding the cheese, and that way I don't get any of my fingers touching the actual cheese. This also means that I can eat the cheese one-handed if...
What are you, like a rodeo cowboy or something?
Yeah. If I'm in the rodeo, if I'm riding, doing that thing, then I can have one hand on the horse, one hand on the string cheese, and then I can eat it bite by bite. I don't feel like I should have to be beholden to peeling it off just because the word string is in the moniker of the cheese.
Why do you choose to eat string cheese instead of any one of the many other types of cheese available on the market?
Well, string cheese is a unique product in that it is sold in single serving things. So I can bring it to lunch, for example, or bring it on a road trip. And there's also, because of the way that it's wrapped, it's very easy to open and eat without having to have my fingers touch the actual cheese, which is, I think, is more disgusting when you're touching the cheese and peeling it off and putting all your hands and stuff all over the cheese. This way, I don't have to do it. And then because I'm taking, say, the top part of the cheese when I first open it, then it actually sort of breaks up into a bunch of tiny little strings in my mouth, which is a joyful thing.
Oh, my God. Dan, can I interject for a second?
Please.
Okay. So, first point, washing your hands is always a good thing before you eat anything, even if it is in this weird plastic packaging. And second, I've seen Chris eat many, many, many items with his hands without seeming to think twice about how many germs, cooties, oils, grossness is coming into his mouth at the same time. And third, string cheese, it seems like it's more of his break in case of emergency cheese. And so I think this is all more to justify his cheese emergency snack than actually about cleanliness.
It seems to me, Chris, that you've gone astray here. You're not keeping your eyes on the prize. And the prize in life here on The Sporkful is deliciousness. Okay, cleanliness and mess are not worthy ends in themselves. Deliciousness is the end. And you say the reason why you would pick string cheese ahead of the bazillion other kinds of cheese out there is only for convenience. And then you're not taking advantage of the one property of string cheese that makes it special. Why don't you just go to the store, buy a block of good cheese, bring it home, cut it into a few sticks, wrap them in plastic wrap, and throw them in your fridge. And then when you're on the go, you grab one of those and you throw it in your pocket, and then you have better cheese, and it's a kind of cheese that is meant to be actually chomped instead of one that has been specifically designed for peeling.
I actually think that the way that I eat the string cheese does give it more deliciousness. I think that biting a hunk of cheese off of the top of a string cheese fills your mouth with that delicious, I love string cheese. It's not a bad cheese. I actually think biting it over the top like that fills your mouth with all that cheesy deliciousness, whereas a string, it's very light. You can't really chew it. You can't really get a good mouth around it, you know?
You're saying it lacks tooth sinkability.
It lacks tooth sinkability, to use a sportful phrase, exactly.
Okay. Have you tried peeling an especially large string or a few strings and putting them all in your mouth at once?
I haven't tried that. It seems like that would be more work to get the same amount of deliciousness as biting a hunk off would be.
I disagree because, Renee made a great point earlier when she talked about the special texture and textural experience of strings of cheese. It's not like other kinds of cheese. So I feel like you can get that special experience and the tooth sinkability you seek by just using larger and or more strings at once.
Well, I remain skeptical, but I will say I will try the multiple string approach.
To both of you, I admire your devotion to cheese. And I think that, how long have you guys been married?
It's 6 years, this week, actually.
Okay, here's what I want you to do for your anniversary. I want, Renee, I want you to peel some strings of string cheese, some big, thick strings.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to hold them in your hand. And Chris, I want you to peel strings of string cheese just the way Renee likes them. And I want you to feed them to each other.
I feel like that could result in, like, one of the creepiest couple photos on Pinterest ever.
I want you to do that, and I want you to send me a picture of it, okay?
All right. Will do.
All right. Well, Chris and Renee in Berkeley, California, thanks so much for calling. Happy anniversary.
Thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks so much, Dan.
And as a follow-up to that call, Chris and Renee actually did feed each other string cheese, and they actually did take photos of it. And so those photos are actually available for you to see at sporkful.com, and they are as wonderful as you would hope and dream they would be. Again, a reminder that I'm headed out on the road, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Chicago, L.A., and San Francisco, coming to your neck of the woods. Details at sporkful.com. And I'd love to have you call in for a future episode of The Sporkful, especially for our Eat More Better book club edition of The Sporkful. To do that, drop me a line, dan@sporkful.com, or give me a ring, 908-9-SPORK-9. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Kristen Meinzer. We get web help from Talia Ralph and Alight Trong. Special thanks to Chris Bannon. I'll be back in 2 weeks when we kick off wall-to-wall Thanksgiving coverage. That's right. It's that time of year again, my friends. Until then, I'm Dan Pashman, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.